Hey, David. We used to sing a little song, and has it been good to me, been so good to me. Every time I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that He has done for me, just me, my soul cries, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's good. And to preach. And Lord, I feel wholly inadequate to bring this passage that you just instilled in my heart now. Because you revealed to me, Lord, that if the world had just understood it, why it is sin, that they would just listen. The words of you are. As you said in the text, Lord God, that we not only could sing that this world could be a better place, this world would be a better place. So now, Lord, we ask that you just bless the family richly. Something that might be shared today will help us. That we break this chain, loose the shackle. Because no one in here has been untouched by what you're trying to teach us. No one. The infection is everywhere, Lord. So we ask that you heal us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And the sight of the family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Spirit, heal child. Spirit, hit till she just cries. It's all right. It's all right to let the Lord have his day. Amen. Some of us have gotten too old, too whatever. We'll show what the Lord is doing. But it's a precious thing, amen.
Amen.
This parable that we've been trying to teach over the last few weeks now about forgiveness. I've been so carefully, as best I know how, with the time that I have to make sure that you have the right perspective of the parable, of what's going on in the parable, from whose perspective we should be looking at the parable, how we should then start to apply the parable. You see, the church is God's family, amen?
Amen.
The church is God's family. I'll say it again. The church is God's family. It's his court. We're in his court. He dwells in his court. He should rule in his court. He does rule in his court. God is, we say, our master. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. We say our saviors. And we then are his servants. Not only should we understand this in our profession, profession that words that come out of our mouth, it's our obligation to the Lord. This parable speaks to how we will, and trust me, I'm not trying to make anybody pick on anybody Lord is picking up right here for everybody to know that he's talking to everybody. Amen.
Amen.
So don't take it personal. But we all need to be taken care of here. It does out of us. You know, somehow or another, it doesn't go a step further in us. God's people provoke God. This parable speaks to how God's people provoke God.
Amen.
It speaks to how annoying the servants can be and are. It's not even there. Well, it's got to stop someplace. Let it begin with. I, like I said earlier in the service, I know I can't fix the Tom, Dick, and Harry. But I can do something about Charles Gray. I know I can't fix my sister, my brother. But I can do something about Charles Gray. This parable speaks to how annoying God's servants can be and are in just this one area of unforgiveness. Just one area. Y'all see that, right? Because Peter asked him how many times that we should forgive, and the master says for 70 times what? And Peter tries to make it, you don't mean that, right? He says, he lets Peter know it's a number that you should not keep track of. And then he turns around and says, okay, I see you struggling with this number already. So let me try to make sure you understand that heaven is like this number that I'm trying to tell you about. He says in verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain thing. So in other words, now he's trying to give you a physical picture about how heaven what? Operates. And if you know that heaven operates this way, and this story is trying to help you understand how heaven operates, then you want to try the best to understand this story so you'll know how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. So this parable shows us that the master did what? He forgave his servant of the debt, right? Every sin that we commit, that's number one. Every sin we commit is a debt to God. Yes. Saved or unsaved, it's a debt. Amen? And it's a debt to God. Not like I owe Carrington $5. Or I owe Bank of America $10 on a late charge. It's not like that. The debt is to God. The kingdom of heaven is like unto this. You understand? So we really have to understand what Satan has been very successful at. Let's make it real. Has been very successful at is understanding that people can look at this passage and say, well, that's not me. That doesn't apply. It's me. That's kind of not pertaining to who I am because I don't hate anybody. No, really. Why would the Lord take them? What is it? How many verses do we have? 14 verses? Sometimes you just say one sentence and you move on. 14. Can you imagine how serious this is? How big the infection is? How the devil has attacked folks? Let's just face it. All around the world. You know that. He's attacked you. Personally. He's attacked me.
personally. Because when you look at this passage, if you begin over in verse 8, chapter 18, when you look at this, he's talking in verse 2, and he says, verse 3 says, and he says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little what?
Children.
You shall not do what?
Enter.
See, when my little babies just say, Daddy, when I would tell them what to do, then they would just start, you know, there came a time when they started, you know, talking back. But he gone to the period where children actually listen to, they obey there. And so it says in verse 4, whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same be called the greatest man in the kingdom. Whoever shall receive one of these little child in my name, receive it what? So understand he already knows you grown up got a problem with what he's saying now. Come on. Give God glory. Help me. If you just get in the kingdom of heaven, it's like unto this. If you just get there, then you can start to understand that he's saying, you got to come off of that, whatever it is that the devil has put you on. And you might not even recognize it because he's that slick. Verse 6 kind of sums it up where he's going toward 21. He says here, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone be hanged around about his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of what?
Offenses.
For it must be what? That offenses It must need be that offenses come. But woe to the man. Listen, guys. The devil has cooked verse 6 and 7 up. He's learned to use this bait called offenses. Forgive us our trespasses, says we who trespassed. So the devil said, I'm going to work on that. So the offenses come, seemingly one after another. Sometimes you don't even know how to forgive folk anymore because it's easier to be what? Offended. I'm telling you, the Lord is good. He's trying to open up that can today. And he's going, I can't help who's not here, but it's you. It's for you. My loving family, it's for you. I don't know what you can turn around. You've got to evaluate yourself. There were 1,000 people in there telling us that. Woe unto the world because of the offense. So many of them, not offense, offenses. Just trying to make sure you understand that the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. So the master forgives this great debt, right? Wonderful forgiveness. Not a debt to an equal, but a debt to the God of the universe. Then this parable shows that there is going to be an account. Come on, somebody say an account. Can you imagine accountants came up with their own expression, I'm an accountant? No, the Lord is the master. I'm not so glad for the blood that seals us even when we don't have money in our account. Come on, somebody! Hallelujah. There is an account of these debts that we owe the Lord, and we will have a day of reckoning for our account. Come on, somebody. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto three. The His parable shows that the sin, the debt of sin is very great. Some are more in debt, some folks more in debt than others. I know I can't pay my debt. I know there's no way, no how I can pay my debt. You home here, brother? You're in Christ?
There's three or four churches here. Go make sure you do it.
Amen. 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 Welcome. Amen. The debt of sin is very great that we owe the Lord. And like I said, some folks are in such a debt that they can't possibly... No, let me fix that. We are in such a debt to the Lord that we cannot possibly repay the debt. Justice demands satisfaction. Everybody say when you go down to the courthouse, the judge is going to get his satisfaction. He's going to get his satisfaction. The plaintiff is going to complain on you. And if the judge say that you're guilty, you're going to pay your debt. This servant had acquired this debt by his willingness, his wastefulness. Understand that the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. And so this servant had acquired this debt and he was... What the master said that he should, that he had to justly pay for it. Look at this verse. In verse 25, it says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment be made. His Lord commanded him to be sold as a slave into the galleys. Come on, somebody. I know this is a tough message, but God is trying to get this unforgiveness out of you. Because you want to... I can't tell you how many times people have read this passage and walk right out this door, and guess what? Or that door, or that door, or that door, whatever door they took their Bible into, and they still... Don't understand what the Lord is trying to tell you here. That you owe him a debt. He went to the cross for you and so that you could get this out of you, so that it would not get on you, so that it would not have dominion over you. He said, I'm going to sell you into slavery and I'm going to put you in prison. He says, you owe me such a debt, I'm going to sell your wife too. He said, mean anything to you yet? The Lord says, I'm not going to sell you. I'm going to sell your children. I'm going to sell everything you got. See here what sin deserves. Do you see it? Do you see what unforgiveness deserves? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
That we can be bankrupt sinners, and he still, he seals us, that we can still. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in heaven. I want to get deep inside. I want to get deep inside and see all the glory. He wants to show you all the goodness, but I'd rather be a doorkeeper. And I thank you for never letting me go. But understand that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. Somebody hear me this morning, please.
Yes.
He said, you ought to be sold. Those that sell themselves, listen to me, please, 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 listen.
Yes.
I'm trying to get this thing out of you, best I can. My meager words. Those that sell themselves into sin, they to work wickedness, they must be sold to make satisfaction. Oh, go ahead. Those that sell themselves to work iniquity, those who sell themselves to work wickedness, those who do not understand that unforgiveness gets up into you and it just on and on and on and you and you and you. And then the next thing you know, it's on your children. It's on your family. It's on your wife. Oh, everybody could end up being sold. Because you don't understand how to break this cycle in you. The servant, those captive to sin, are captive to God's wrath. They are captive to the devil's wrath. I know you think you're hurting somebody else. I know you think that you're getting even. You might not even think about it anymore. You just like it. You don't even know your attitudes anymore. You don't even know your perceptions anymore. You don't even know that you are like that anymore. Funny story about this little boy sitting on the bench. The old lady was coming up to him. He's sitting there on the bench and he had this terrible looking look on his face. And the little lady said, "Sonny, something wrong with you? You look like you need help." He says, "No, I'm just sitting on some bees." She says, "Really? Why are you sitting on the bees? It must hurt." He says, "Yeah, it hurts, but I think I'm hurting them more than they're hurting me." It hurts. And you think you're hurting them more than it's hurting you, so you're going to sit there and take the sting of what? All this inequity into you. And it gets all in you. And next thing you know, you're infecting everything around you. And the master say you must be sold to make satisfaction. When you're sold into saving, I know I could run through this thing and you might not get it, but this thing is over 2,000 some years. It's over 4,000 some years. It's so deep into our society. It's so deep into us. I can't rush. I'm just praying the Lord help me break somebody's yoke.
Yes.
One person's yoke. If I can just help somebody, they're going to travel. When you're sold into slavery, you understand this picture, y'all. I try to make good with pictures, right? Sold you. Sold your wife. Sold your children. Sold everything you had. Payment had to be made. And we must think straight about this thing. When you're a slave, there's nothing left for you but life itself. Everything has been stripped from you. Everything has been stripped from you and there's nothing left for you. So we must think straight about this parable because the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. You must think level-headed about this. The Lord didn't sugarcoat this picture. You must think level-headed about this misery which is to come and come to grips with the judgment and what happens to the damned sinner. Repayment must be made. Something must be put towards the debt, even though it is impossible. It's impossible for the sale of somebody, listen to me, so worthless and so useless, could even begin to repay such a great debt. And I believe that those who die without salvation and the condemnation of eternal punishment in hell to the sinners is God's divine justice plan. I see over in Corinthians where God has another divine justice plan. If you got blood, or you might live a life of wastefulness. He says, everything that's not going to make it through the fire is not going to make it through the fire. But so you shall still stand. So I'm not trying to here take your salvation. Nobody think, leave this room thinking I'm trying to take you. I'm just trying to get this cancer out of us. Because it does not please the Lord. It annoys him. It angers him. It grieves the Holy Spirit that you're trying to walk around with, that you want to communicate with you, that wants to tell you something, that wants to show you something, that wants to guide you in the whole truth. And there you are, beloved. God's divine justice plan for those who do not know his son is in a place called hell, and that can then never ever be satisfied. That's why he wants to clean you up so that you can stand before somebody and say, look at hell. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. So look at the true and convinced sinner can never repay his debt. Only thing he can do is humble himself before the living God. Are you humble before the living God? If you're humble before the living God, then what you do is you take as much time as you need. What you do is you do what God says do. You get this root out of you. You get this cancer out of you. You get it out of your mind, and every time it crops up, you put the word of God over you. You speak over yourself. You learn how to let God handle it. Oh yeah, I put something over here on this pile. You remember I put something up, I hung it up here. We're getting back to that. I know y'all don't like certain people. I can't even get to that one. Yeah. I'm just trying to get you to like yourself. Get up on the cross. And follow Jesus.
Yeah.
Get you up on cross. Then we can start unpacking some of this other stuff.
Yeah.
The devil has been excellent at deceiving the world. Yeah. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Don't act like you didn't get the infection. You got it. Mm-hmm. He's good at it. And that's why the Lord spent so much beautiful time trying to say that there must be repayment made for this. Listen, the servant already knew he had a great debt, didn't he?
Yeah.
He knew he had a debt and was unconcerned about it until the master called him on the debt. Look at verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will repay thee all. Listen, all sinners. Somebody say all sinners.
All sinners.
Take this careless attitude towards sin. They take this careless attitude about the pardon of their sin until they come under some kind of duress, until they come under some kind of stress, until they come under some kind of, come on somebody, until they come under some kind of catastrophe, until the Lord say, here I am, we're going to deal with something today. You're getting ready to have a coming to Jesus moment, and all you're going to do, what you're going to do with it? Some external circumstance shakes you. Something damaging hurts you. Something gets you to your core. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And the Lord says, come to Jesus. Sometimes it's on the deathbed.
Yes.
Something awakens that careless sinner. Something awakens that worthless, come on, I'm not trying to make anybody mad, that worthless sinner. It's impossible to repay the debt that you have. All you can do is humble yourself before the living God and so that he might exalt you in due. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Some of them come to that come to Jesus moment and they still got that hard heart. Come in cussing, go out cussing. Come in kicking, go out kicking. Is that going to be you? How is it you know God can really bring some of the biggest and baddest sinners to their feet? Right to their knees. I want to see if you are. Can we do that? I know that I was growing in. I'm not going to finish this today. I can understand that. So part three is going to be wonderful. but I said I can't rush this. I need you to see what God can do so that make sure that he does it. Why do I want you to see what God can do? Because then I want you to turn around and say, God, do it. Say, Lord, I was born in iniquity and in sin. Was I conceived? Say, Lord, it's Eve. I'm like, I got it. And now my eyes are open. Thank you. And Lord, would you do it for me? Exodus 9. Come, we're going to go on the Bible. I want to show you what the Lord can do. Amen. Exodus 9. To the biggest and baddest. Don't think he can't fix your situation. Don't think he can't break your yoke. Don't think he can't loose your shackles. Do not think that the Lord cannot find you, get you, take care of you, reveal you. Exodus 9. Who has it? Verse 27 and 28. Who has it? Come on. We're going to roll through these, but I want to show you. I want to show you what the Lord can do. Way back when, amen? So don't think he just started doing big business with folks today or a few weeks ago. Who has 27 and 28?
And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. And I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings in hell. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer.
Amen. It was Pharaoh who would not let his people go. Matter of fact, every time he turned around, Pharaoh was hardening his heart. And you know how sometimes it is when you have your come to Jesus moment, 5 minutes later, you Jesus who? I said, what? Pharaoh was like that. And he was having his come to Jesus moment for a few minutes. Like, come on, the flat. Jesus said, come to Jesus. And Pharaoh standing and called for Moses and said unto him, I have sinned. He didn't say I done wrong. He didn't say I messed up. He was having a come to Jesus moment. And then he said, oh, the Lord is righteous. I'm the sinner. The Lord's good. And I and my people are wicked. Pray to the Lord that he stopped doing this thing to me. But you see Moses already looking. Because Moses was with the Lord. Moses was walking with the Lord. Moses said unto him, I go up and I'll get the hell to stop. But he says in verse 30. But as for thee and thy servants, I know you will not do what?
The Lord God.
He looked him right in the face and said, you just trying to get out the jam. Yeah. You just trying to get out the jam. See what happens when we have our coming to Jesus time, when he's dealing with this forgiveness, unforgiveness in every person that has come into this world, when we have this moment where we realize that we have sinned, and we still might turn right around and act up what? Pharaoh turned right around and his heart hardened again. After the Lord had had so much compassion on him. But you see, for a minute, his old hard heart was dead. I sinned. Live on me. The Lord can make the hardest see that they need to turn around. He can make the hardest. He gives the hardest an opportunity. That whether you take it or not, he still leaves that up to who?
You.
1 Kings 21. That's my point. I know we got to be. This message of forgiveness is God. So swore up in me. I just want to make sure you get it. Amen. So I hope you don't get tired of hearing it, because it's what the world is sick on, y'all. Amen. 1 Kings 21. He can make the hardened heart turn around. Amen. Look at this. Look at this. Manasseh 27. See, Ahab was an old, wicked old king. He just was, now, I want y'all to go home and study these things. The Lord can fix it in you. And he's serious about it in you. Verse 27. First thing you need to know is from 26, and he says, and he did very abominable things. Look at that. See what he said? And following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites who the Lord cast out before the children. This man was wicked. This man was rotten. Somebody say, give me help, come to Jesus. Look at 27. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothing, rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the words of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite by saying, see if thou, Ahab, humbled himself before me, because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his day. But in your son's day will I bring the evil upon this house. You see, there's going to be consequences. When you don't do what the Lord wants you to do, stuff gets loose. But old Ahab had his come to Jesus, didn't he? He got all shook up, tore his clothes off, started throwing dirt on him. That's what they said. They showed that they were humble. They were throwing dirt on their head and sat down on a sack up. This whole sack up was so rough, it would irritate your skin. It was not comfortable. It wasn't wool. It wasn't silk. It wasn't rayon. It was rough old burlap kind of stuff. And they were laying. Why were they laying it? To remind themselves to humble themselves. I don't know what you might have to rub on yourself or rub in your mind, but this thing needs to be humbled in you. Don't act like it's not in you, because you were born into iniquity. You were born with it. You have to face it. The world has to face it. I can't make the world face it. I can't even make you face it. I'm not going to be like Pharaoh. I'm not going to be like Ahab. I'm going to go before the Lord and humble myself as much as I can and say, Lord, reveal it to me. Reveal it to me. 2 Chronicles 33. Second
13, I think. Let me follow the verse. Well, talking about Manasseh, another king of the reigning over Judah that messed up. And it says in verse 12, and when he was, what?
Inefficient.
Oh, he's come to Jesus' moment, coming. And he humbled himself, what? Hear that word again. Humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And prayed unto him and was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem unto his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Yeah, let's come to Jesus' phone. This man, y'all go ahead and read Manasseh. I'm giving you a light here now. Understand that this brute got to come out. Because such is like it unto the kingdom. The king was rotten. He was doing all kinds of things just like they were doing in the land that the Lord told him that I'm going to let it flow with milk and honey. But don't do like they do. Do like I say do. And here he was acting just like them. Y'all going to really like this one. Daniel 5. Oh, Belshazzar. I want you to know that the Bible is loaded with coming to Jesus' moment. And then they turn right back around and say, I don't want that after they get their break. Amen. Amen. You're getting that break today because God is showing you how serious and deeply this thing is in you. And it's in all of us. Don't take it so personal as the pastor says, that we're right. No, I'm not saying you're right. I'm saying that you were born in the sin. You were born into this iniquity. The devil has made it so purposeful in you that you might not even, unless you talk straight at it. You might not even see it, recognize it, know it. Okay. I'm not like that, pastor. I'm glad that you call somebody home. When the last time you said you went from Daniel chapter 5. This one to come about. Bill says, that is speech. He even broke out with. They had such a good time, they had already ran over the Israelites and took all the stuff out of the temple and bought all the cups and all the gold. And they have this great big old party where they're doing all kind of abominable things. And he can't think of anything else to do. Go down there and get that stuff we took out of Jerusalem. Get those cups and vases and plates and let's drink out of those and play with those a while. And so all of his concubines and all of those folks and whatnot came into that temple and they began to desecrate it and denigrate the things of the Lord. And all of a sudden, verse 5, in that same hour came forth a finger of a man and rode over against the candlesticks upon the plaster of the wall of the king in the palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Y'all ready? Come to Jesus. Somebody say. Then the king's countenance was changed. Verse 6. And his thoughts troubled him so that his joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another. The man had such a come to Jesus moment and said that he lost control of his body. He said his knees started knocking. And we're talking about a man that said he wasn't scared of nothing.
can change your mind. Y'all, we need to catch up with it. They had the right on that. Y'all, don't think y'all God can't go get in there and get to the problem. The king cried aloud. He cried for all kinds of things. Astrologers and witchcrafts and soothsayers. He was scared to death. And as soon as he was scared to death, the first thing he do is to call it on the name of the Lord. What did he do? Call for some witches. Well, you can find out over in Matthew when you go home and study. But over in 27, you can see that Judas had a moment too. He repented too. Before he went out and hung himself too. I believe if he just said, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I just picked you up on that cross, but will you forgive me? But the Lord already knew that he wasn't even going to do that. He didn't have no sense to do that when he had his come to Jesus moment. Only thing that he could do is just throw the silver back. Matthew 27, read it. Verses 1 through 5. You'll see. You don't have to go there now because we're running short on time. You'll find that the curator, Alex and Felix over in Acts, he started trembling. That's, you can find that over in Acts 24. Verses 20 through 26. Amen. I'm still just trying to show you tonight that the kingdom of heaven is likened. Listen, the hardest of hearts will fail when the Lord says so. Amen. When the Lord lays your sin out in front of you, the hardest of hearts will fail. But if that heart is humble, if that heart is humble when he lays that sin out in front of you, if your heart is humble when he shows you that you have got error, when your heart is humble, when you get up, you won't act like these men who only had their come to Jesus moment and did nothing with it. Give God a hand. Praise. I know you got a lot to listen to during the weekend. Me too. But I'm telling you, if you just seriously take a look at all that we're doing right now, the devil has been so at this. Ask the Lord to help you. Show you what it is that you need to know. That you can't see. Because you remember in this text he said that if you don't forget your brother, every kind of he's serious about it. And you can look around you, all the hate, all the pain, all the suffering, all people taking advantage of each other, all not concerned about one another, all our young people. Infection just gets you. Maybe you have a nerve to be proud of us. And we owe such a great debt. Such a great debt. 10,000 talents to serve it was in vain. Was in debt of work. And he had no money. He was already bankrupt. He told me, I will repay it. He didn't have nothing to pay the master. I'm going to repay for their pride with you. Broken as he was. Talk about how repaid we are. He had no money.
What pride will do to you this week, unless you quickly jump on this, amen?
Amen.
You won't recognize it as pride, I'm just telling you what it is. Amen. There may be someone who wants prayer today. Not sometimes or anything, but I know. That's the opportunity.